We're going to go into our Bible study about, it's about two things, actually. About being able ministers of the New Testament and the precious truths in Scripture about that new thing that happened with Paul. And the other thing is trying to get used to detecting error that we see. Sometimes you hear it from a pulpit, sometimes in a book you read. Often on Facebook or Pal Talk, you'll hear error just talked about as if it's the fact, the truth. But what makes it an error is that it's not what the Bible says, or the Bible says something like it that's misconstrued to be something, and then it's carried on in a tradition, generation after generation. We need to open up everything that we've been told by our parents or our pastors, and hold on a second here. Find your own room, sir, if you want to teach error. That's part of what we're talking about. Open up the Bible, study it, and find out what the Bible says, and the counterfeit will be obvious, after you've done that. So, all right, let's go into our lesson. And we had left off yesterday talking about Abraham and his descendants, the Jews, descendants through Jacob. And Romans 4:1, if we can look at that, it says, "What shall we say then, that Abraham, our father, as pertaining to the flesh, hath found?" Well, as pertaining to the flesh, I was not born a descendant of Abraham. Gentiles did not descend from Abraham, but all the Jews did descend from Abraham. In Romans 4:1, Paul's talking to those that did descend from Abraham, not to those who did not descend from Abraham. Paul's talking to Jews, not to Gentiles, in that portion of his epistle to all that be in Rome. So he covers everybody in Rome, but in this part he's talking to Jews, and about Jews, or about Jews, one or the other, because of the way the verse is worded. And don't forget now, if we look in Romans 2:17, we see Paul saying, "Behold, thou art called a Jew, and restest in the law, and makest thy boast of God." And come on down to verses 23, 24, and 25. "Thou makest thy boast of the law." What did I quote that wrong? Let me go back to the beginning of 2:17. "Behold, thou art called a Jew." Definite statement there. "And restest in the law, and makest thy boast of God." Verse 23. "Thou that makest thy boast of the law, through breaking the law, dishonorest thou God." Verse 24, "For the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles through you, as it is written," verse 25, "For circumcision verily profiteth if thou keep the law. But if thou be a breaker of the law, thy circumcision is made uncircumcision." So in this portion, the person that wrote this article that had the errors in it, they're counting on Paul only writing to the body of Christ. All 13 of Paul's epistles, all of them are only to the body of Christ, they say. Well, here you see it. He's talking to a Jew here, not a body of Christ member. So he's talking straight to a Jew who is called a Jew, who boasts about the law, their law, being given to the Jews in verse 23, and in verse 24, he's not the Gentiles. So that leaves the Jews. They were Jews that were called Jews, like those Jews in Ephesians 2:11, who are called the circumcision. Paul calls them the circumcision because that's what they are, not because that's what they're slandered as being or something. There's no grounds for that. In addressing that Jew or that type of Jew, Paul even talks about their effect on the Gentiles, that the Gentiles blaspheme, what was the wording there in verse 24? For the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles through you. Well, who's you? It's, if it's not the Gentiles, because it's the effect is on the Gentiles, then it's from the Jews. That's all that's left, Jews or Gentiles. So that article, the writer of it, merely discredits himself by trying to claim that there is nothing in Paul's letters that was written especially for Jewish people. Paul was only sent to the Jew and to the Greek, the Jew blessers, in the first part, in the dispensation of the gospel there, the first part, well, during Acts. You know, it was after Acts that he wrote Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, Philemon, Titus. All those prison letters were written after Acts when he was going to all men and teaching the body of Christ in his letters. But before that, he was going to the Jews and the Greeks. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It's the power of God unto salvation to all that believe. To the Jew first and also to the Greek. So, he wrote, there's nothing, and this is the error in it. Do you detect it when you hear it? There is nothing in his letters that is written especially for Jewish people. We just read some that was. Or to the Jewish nation, he said. Or, and not just to the members of the body of Christ. So, if you take the scripture in that way, the way he's taking it, you'll have all kinds of errors in your understanding of the scripture, thinking it's to you when it's really written to the, to Israel or to the Jews. So actually, the First Corinthian epistle is even addressed to believing Israelites, called the Church of God. The Church of God is not the body of Christ for several reasons. First, in Galatians 1:13, Paul persecuted the Church of God before he was saved as a pattern for the body of Christ. As he said, in me first, in 1 Timothy 1:15 and 16, it was in him first, in Paul, that Christ first revealed the image of God in Christ, the body of Christ. To show his Son in me, it says in Galatians 1:15. So it's true from reading the remoter context of further, not in the immediate context, in other words, a different place in the Bible talking about the same thing. It's true that the meeting that Paul called the Church of God, which is in Corinth, when he addressed the letter in Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 1:2, it not only included those that had been expelled from the apostate synagogue for believing that Jesus was the Christ, the Son of God, resurrected, but it actually included those like that first group, but who eventually went on to believe that Jesus Christ died for their sins, and they entered the body of Christ then. They became baptized by one spirit into the one body of Christ, but the rest didn't. The rest that were just Jews that formerly had not believed that Jesus was their Messiah, and now they did believe that he was their Messiah, risen from the dead, they were like little flock people, and they were in the same group. It was a mixed group. And if you read it without understanding that fact, that was a necessity, you can go look at, let me pull it up here, I got it. John 9:22. These words, and we'll get to this again in a minute here to re-impress it, but look at these words spake his parents because they feared the Jews. For the Jews had agreed already that if any man did confess that he was Christ, he should be put out of the synagogue. The synagogues would not tolerate anybody believing that Jesus was the Christ, the Son of the living God. There were two groups of Jews. The Jews, the main part of the Jews, including the high priest, the Pharisees, the synagogues, and they did not receive Jesus. They did not have faith that he was the Son of God, the Messiah, risen from the dead. That's the gospel of God that defines who is in the little flock, and it defines who is sanctified by the Holy Ghost acceptable to receive the gospel of Christ, according to Romans 15:20, 15 verse 16. So, getting back to the notes, let's look at Galatians. These are the verses for what I just said. Galatians 1:13. And we'll go ahead and read that. Galatians 1:13, for you have heard of my conversation in past time in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it. Well, that's before there was a body of Christ. That's before Paul was saved as the first member of the body of Christ. And yet he's talking about the existence of the church of God. It's not the body of Christ then. 1 Timothy 1:15, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, among whom I am chief. And that word chief is protos, from which we get prototype. He was chief. He was the head of the line. He was the first in line there. He was the first one in that way into the body of Christ. It doesn't mean the biggest or the worst sinner or anything like that. It just means he was the head of the line. Verse 16, howbeit, for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first, and that's that same word protos, in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all long-suffering for a pattern. For a pattern. The long-suffering wasn't the pattern, it was for the pattern. And he goes on to he doesn't actually say what the pattern was, but he says what people that follow the pattern are like, and that's what the pattern is then. You know, if they follow the pattern and they're this way, well, that's what the original is like then. For a pattern to them which should hereafter, or after Paul, believe on him to life everlasting. And that's the gospel. There's no works involved in that verse, is there? Believe on him to life everlasting. Just believe. Believing is, you know, it's to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly. Working is not believing, and believing is not working. And then we'll read again John 9:22. These words spake his parents because they feared the Jews, for they had already agreed, they had agreed already that if any man did confess that Jesus, that he was Christ, he should be put out of the synagogue. And just give me a second to pull up another verifying verse on that same regard, the same topic here. John 12:42. Nevertheless, among the chief rulers also many believed on him, on Jesus. But because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. Confession relates to Israel. We're not told to confess our sins. That's Israel that's told that. In James 5, 12, somewhere in there, or 17, they're told to confess their sins. John, 1 John 1:9 is to Israel. Romans 10, verses 9 and 10, that's about Israel, what they should have confessed, but didn't. They didn't have the faith. Look at back in verse 8, Romans 10, verse 8. What they failed to have was the faith to believe the gospel of God, that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, risen from the dead. So, we'll get back to our notes here. That was the first reason. Pardon me. Why the church of God is not or cannot be the body of Christ. Secondly, in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 16, 1 Corinthians 11:16, Paul talks about the body of Christ, churches that he established, as we. In the verse, those body of Christ churches are we. The word we is what he refers to. But when he's referring, he talks about the church of God as a different group of churches, apparently referring to the believing Jews, the Israel of God, the little flock which he had persecuted before Christ saved him. Look at the verse, 1 Corinthians 11:16. But if any man seem to be contentious, we, that's the body of Christ's churches and himself, we have no custom, neither the churches of God. So you can see they're separated there. They're not. He's not talking about the same type of believers. Okay? And again, when they came out from the synagogue, being kicked out of the synagogue, no longer welcome because they did believe Jesus was the Messiah, they had to meet together for a while, so there was that mixed group. And you can see Paul addressing them in many places in 1 Corinthians. You don't have to go there, but 1 Corinthians 7, verse 18, or verses 17 through 20 is all about that. And further around it even than that, but it's pretty emphatic there. So we see that the Church of God was not the body of Christ's churches, but those Jews who believed the gospel of God, facts about Jesus. Started out as Jews, and when Jesus came on the scene, many believed not, but some did believe that he was. And then, again, these facts that are called the gospel of God in Romans 1, 1-4, that Jesus was the Christ, the Son of the living God, risen from the dead. So they were the little flock of believing Israelites that believed that, that started out as Jews. Now, there were most of the people in the world were not Jews. You know, they didn't even get it preached to them unless they had blessed Jews, and they'd feared the God of Abraham and come to the synagogues and got to hear Paul teach that you can be saved directly to God by, without going through Israel, without blessing Israel, just by believing that Christ died for your sins. Your sins are all died for. He saved you. Just believe it. If you reject it, if you refuse to believe it, it doesn't apply to you. But if you believe that he died for your sins and you're covered, you're safe, you're saved. You are. You're saved then. And it's not something that you say it and make it true. God made it true, but it only applies to you if you believe it. Romans 3, 21 and 22. So later on, Paul preached the gospel of God, facts about who Jesus is. Now, when he would go to a town, he would find where the Jews are meeting for their weekly meetings on the Sabbath. And he would go there, usually in the synagogue, but not always. And before he departed from the synagogue, he would preach, okay, 3 weeks. It says it was his manner. That was his rule of thumb, so to speak, his way of operating. Sometimes it says he went on, I think it says one place he went on for 6 months preaching before they finally kicked him out or made it uncomfortable enough for him that he departed and separated out those who consorted with him, who believed the gospel of God, facts about who Jesus really is. Still, he hadn't preached anything about the gospel of Christ, the gospel of salvation. So, but he separated them out. And then to those that did believe the gospel of salvation, the gospel of God, to those that did believe the gospel of God that he separated out, those were the ones that got to hear the gospel of Christ, how to be saved. Just like in Athens, they didn't believe. They mocked him for saying that Jesus had risen from the dead, and they didn't get to hear the gospel of Christ, gospel of salvation. Nowhere is it recorded that Paul ever preached to those in Athens the gospel of salvation. So we can see that Paul knew nothing of the restrictions placed on him in that helpful little book, but it was written roughly a half century ago, and it opened the eyes of many of us. But there are some things that it stopped and didn't see the rest of it. But now we can see the rest by studying the scriptures. That demonstrates in real life the need to be as the Bereans were, to study the scriptures to see which things are true and which things are just assumed or traditions unchecked, untested, to see if they're in the scriptures. Check everything to make sure it's in the scriptures. That's why we've been going through all these scriptures and relying heavily on the scriptures and not on what we're told. So it's sad that many of those claiming to be Berean are actually quite lacking in that characteristic. But You know, they claim to it, so hold their feet to the fire. Make them do it. or make me do it. You know, I'm trying to be as scriptural as I can, and if I'm missing something, over and over I ask you to let me know it. But may we all examine ourselves to be sure that we are continually weeding out our preconceived ideas that we all have popping up in our way of thinking almost always without our realizing it until we examine ourselves. So let me just get a sip here. Before we go on, here's more proof that Paul was not sent to all people at first. At first he was sent only to the Jews and the Greeks. Just the opposite of what the writer of that errant article was saying. But it was not until later in Scripture that he went to all people. Paul said that in Acts 26:19, he said, "I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision." He went to Gentiles that blessed Israel. Those were the Gentiles in Romans 11:11 that it says were salvation went to the Gentiles to provoke them to Israel, to provoke Israel to jealousy. The word Israel is not in there, but that's who it's referring to. Right. So the Acts record shows that from the time that Paul was saved until at least Acts 20:6, he was never sent to alien Gentiles. Now some may have heard incidentally, you know, on the edge of the crowd, or seen a crowd and come up to, you know, or stood outside the window of the synagogue and heard Paul preach to the Jews and the Greeks, but the person listening was an alien Gentile. If he had believed, that's great. You know, he would have been saved on that basis instead of on the basis of Israel's prophetic gospel that the kingdom was coming, and believe that Jesus is the king, bringing in the kingdom on earth to rule on, you know, rule over their world from Israel. That was their gospel. But Paul's gospel is an individual gospel. You can individually be justified, quickened, and saved by Jesus Christ by trusting that he died for your sins, took care of it all for you. It's done. Believe it. That's all there is to it. I say it like it's easy. When if you're fearful of doing that, if you don't really believe that he died for you, you can't entrust yourself to that and not do works and depend on doing some works. You have to really trust that what the Bible says is true. And this is what the Bible says. So, you know, you really don't have any other choice when it comes down to authoritative words. I'm not talking about my words. I'm talking about the words of Jesus Christ in the Bible and the inspired words that God inspired the Apostle Paul to write down. So Ephesians 2:12 tells of alien Gentiles that had not blessed Israel according to Genesis 12:3, and we'll get to Genesis 12:3 in a minute. But here are the verses. Look at Ephesians 2:12. And we'll see some alien Gentiles that are not the Greeks. It's the rest of the Gentiles that are not Greeks, that had not believed the gospel of God. And it says, at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. You know, John 4:22. Salvation is of the Jews. That was in the time of John, in the time of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, when Jesus walked the earth. Salvation then was of the Jews. It was a national salvation. Israel was to rule the world. But after Christ went back to heaven and was glorified, then it's an individual salvation. And those that hadn't blessed Israel are being addressed here in Ephesians. It's after the end of Acts. Paul had now been sent to all men, and he says that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of promise and without hope, having no hope and without God in the world. But the next verse is, but now. I didn't put the next verse in my notes, but let me just pull it up so that you're not left without hope. God did make a way for us to come directly to God without going to Israel or blessing an Israelite. But now in Christ Jesus, you who sometimes were far off, that would be us that never blessed Israel, are made nigh. That's those ones in the synagogue able to hear Paul when he came in and preached. You know, we're acceptable to hear the gospel and believe it. But you have to believe the gospel. So we're made nigh by the blood of Christ. So, and look at Genesis 12:3 now. It's in the verse list. I will bless them. This is the covenant that God made to Abraham. Way back, 12th chapter of the Bible. I will bless them that bless thee. And that's the part. I'll read the whole verse. But I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. And it starts in verse 1, actually, telling Abram to leave his people and separate out from the rest of the world. And that's the beginning of the division of people that we have to rightly divide in the scriptures. What's to Israel and what's to us, the rest of the world, in Paul's writings and only Paul's writings. But the I will bless them that bless thee is what a Gentile had to claim. Remember that Syrophoenician woman? She's called, Jesus himself called her a Greek. That's the coining of the phrase. That's why they're called Greeks. Jesus called her a Greek. She was a Greek, it says in Mark 7, 24, 26, somewhere in there. And so that's why we use the term believing Gentiles before Paul were called Greeks. They blessed Israel and approached God in the way that he said they could at that time through Israel, through the salvation that God provided for Israel. So you'll find Paul was doing as his manner was. He went to a town, found where the Jews met, and for three Sabbath days, he would, or evenings, what, you know, they usually do it now in the evening before, but at the beginning of the Sabbath, he would preach the facts about who Jesus is, not the facts about how to be saved. He would preach what he was separated unto in Romans 1:1, separated unto the gospel of God. And then he would separate out those who believed those facts over a period of time, either 3 weeks, usually it was 3 weeks, but sometimes a little longer. Often he would be expelled, or those believers would be expelled from the synagogue. And only to them, Paul or Paul's fellow laborers in the gospel of Christ would preach the gospel of salvation. That's the way it went then. He didn't just go around saying, are you saved, are you saved, you know, and preaching to everybody hither and yon, you know. He had the method that he used. The gospel of salvation was only called the gospel of Christ to the Jew first and also to the Greek until Acts 20. The gospel of Christ is only Acts 9 to Acts 20 in the Bible. And those epistles that were written in during that period, Pauline epistles. At that time in Acts 20, that same saving message is sent to all people. And it's no longer called by the name that's to the Jew first and the Greek, also to the Greek. It's no longer called the gospel of Christ. It's named the gospel of the grace of God. But it's the same saving message. Same words. But it's not to the same people. The gospel is not only the content or the message, but it's to whom it's sent, at what time it's sent. And after Acts 20, it was sent to all people, and it was the same message was called the gospel of the grace of God. So there's not one shred of evidence in Scripture that Paul was sent to preach the gospel of salvation to anyone but to the Jews and the Jew blessers until sometime after his temple vision, which most probably was in Acts 18:22, when he was told he would be sent to all people with that same saving message. He tells us about that sending to all people in the last part of Acts 22, verses 6 to 21. The first part of that is about his first sending. So there consecutively in Acts 22, you hear about Paul's first sending and Paul's second sending. The first sending being to the Jews and the Greeks with the gospel of Christ, and his second sending being to all men with the gospel of the grace of God, the same content. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, that he died for your sins and rose for your justification, and you are saved. Let's look in Acts 13:26. Acts 13:26. Why does Paul write that to you is the word of this salvation sent? I need Acts 13:26 on the screen. Do we have sounds? Yeah, there we go. Good. I saw that big red message on my screen. I don't know what that's about. But anyway. So he says, to you is the word of this salvation sent. Well, who is he defining it to? Who is he restricting it to, that it's sent to them? He's speaking only to the Jews that, well, in the same verse it says, the children of the stock of Abraham, the descendants of Abraham. That's the Jews. And to somebody else, he says there, whosoever among you, besides those Jews, that fears God. Whosoever among you fears God, that would be the what the Bible calls the Greeks. Why did Paul go, you know, he went on in later on in that same sermon in Acts 13, verse 46, and he says, it was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you. Well, that still matches what Paul writes in Romans, written in Acts 20, verse 3. Acts 20, verse 3 is most probably when Romans was written. And he writes that the gospel at that time was still sent to the Jew first and also to the Greek, according to Romans 1:16, written in Acts 20, verse 3. But why did Christ reveal to Paul to continue that distinction for a while in Acts? You know, after he was saved from Acts 13, starts preaching it, as far as we know, that's the first he preached it, all the way to Acts, through Acts 19, the end of Acts 19, and then you have some things going on there, the first three verses of Romans, and he has some time that he's in one place, and that's about the only place he could have had time to have written Romans, in the third chapter there, third verse. But the point is, why did God keep the gospel going mainly to the Jews and the Greeks instead of to all people until Acts 20? Good question. All right, in Galatians 4:28, fourth chapter, 28th verse, Paul reminds those to whom he had previously preached in the synagogue that both he and they, well, he says, we are the children of promise. Those Jews were. Just because you pick up the Bible, open it to Galatians 4:28, and it says, we are the children of promise, it doesn't mean you. It means those that he was talking to and himself. Hold on just a minute. So, they had descended from the lineage of him to whom the promise was made, from Abraham. We haven't. We're not descended from Abraham. And it doesn't matter anymore anyway. Israel has been cut off after Galatians was written. It's still in the Bible, though. Galatians was written sometime during the middle part of Acts. By the end of Acts, Israel was cut off. And then you get the prison epistles of Paul written after that, that are vital to us. So, but he also states repeatedly, 14 plus, more than 14 references in Galatians, that the ones Paul had preached to in Galatia had been Jews. So that's, you have to read Galatians especially, that one book of the Bible, one book of Paul's writings. You have to read it understanding that he's writing to Jews that have just been expelled from the synagogue, or just come out on their own, whichever, come out of the synagogues because they believe that Jesus is the Messiah, risen from the dead. And they believe Paul's message of salvation. Well, it's different. And he has to establish that in the first 9 verses of the book. But let's look at some of the scriptures about the Galatians having been Jews. Look at Galatians 2:15. We who are Jews by nature and not sinners of the Gentiles. Pretty plain. Let's go on. Secondly, let's look at the scriptures about the Galatians having been under the law. Look at Galatians 3, verse 23. But before faith came, we were kept, we, that's Paul and those Jews that he's writing to, we were kept under the law, shut up unto the faith which should afterwards be revealed. Verse 24, wherefore the law was our schoolmaster, ours, not yours and mine that are listening today. We're not descended from Israel, from Abraham or Jacob. They were. That's who he's talking to. And he says he himself and them that he's talking to, we were kept under the law, shut up under the faith which should hereafter, which should afterwards be revealed. Verse 24 again, wherefore the law was Paul's and those Jews that he's writing to. It was their schoolmaster. How could it be our schoolmaster when we were not under the law? They were under the law. It had been their schoolmaster to bring them to faith in Christ, that we might be justified by. It doesn't say. Okay. Let me read the verse just as it says, so instead of trying to preach it at the same time. Wherefore, the law was our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith. Okay, that's the end of the verse. But it doesn't say we might be justified by faith and working righteousness, as Peter in his prophetic gospel had preached to that Greek there called Cornelius, who's actually in the Italian band, but he was Greek by his belief. He was blessing Israel. Look at the second verse, fourth verse, 22nd verse in Acts 10. He's a Greek. He's blessing Israel. That's why he got to hear that the Greeks were now being preached to again, as they were before Matthew 10, verses 5 and 6, when the kingdom started being offered. So, why did Christ send Paul only to Jews and Greeks in the middle of Acts? First of all, we tend to presume that God would send the gospel to all people, since looking back, that's what he eventually did, and that's what the conditions we've been under the whole time. That the gospel was sent to us and to all people. But the change in the gospel is a function of the change in the entity, the body of Christ. The gospel of the kingdom stopped being preached when Israel rejected Christ rejected his kingdom out of heaven and blasphemed the Holy Ghost. All that in Acts 7. The gospel of Christ and the body of Christ were kept secret by God, not written down in the prophecies or in the Bible. It was kept secret until later mentioned in regarding Paul's Acts 9 salvation. It's mentioned later on, in other words, after he was saved, he writes about it. And that was the salvation by which he was saved. 1 Corinthians, that was the gospel by which he was saved. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 3, he says, claims it as his own salvation verse. And that fits the Romans 1:16 definition of the gospel of Christ. That's what saved Paul. So, ever since Israel exited out of Egypt, people were only eligible to come to God through Israel. But God had another reason for not expanding the salvation offer to all people. Just like God gave 120 years of opportunity to repent to the people, those people in Noah's day. In other words, when Noah was building the ark and it took him all those years to build the ark, the Bible calls him a preacher of righteousness. Pardon me. A preacher of righteousness. So they had a, you might call it, some people would call it a transition period to adjust their thinking from the former way God was working with them to the latter way that Paul was, that, excuse me, that at that time Noah was preaching. And they, you know, they could have, well, they didn't believe. And, you know, I don't want to get hypothetical about it, but they didn't believe. But they had that period of time where both ways were being presented. And so also God gave Israel this period of diminishing in the middle of Acts, according to Romans 11, verse 12. Romans 11, 12 calls it a diminishing that goes on after they had fallen in Acts 7. They diminish until they're cut off at the end of Acts. When they're cut off, there's nothing more to write about them, so Acts ends. We're getting close to closing, but during that diminishing period of Acts 8 through Acts 20, verse 6, God sent Paul specifically to call that remnant according to the election of grace, or the choice of grace. Call them into the body of Christ by the gospel of Christ, during the dispensation of the gospel. And it was to the Jew first, and it was also to the Greek, for you know the Bible says there's no difference between the Jew and the Greek in regard to the gospel. They were the God-fearing Israel blessing Gentiles back then before Paul. So, I'm done.